Couple of large guys trying to navigate small spaces there. Okay. Hi, folks online. You can turn your Bibles to Isaiah 41, please. So, today we're going to look at "Fear not, neither be dismayed. The Lord is with you." This is for all the parents. No, I'm just kidding. As you're dealing with your children, fear not, neither be dismayed. The Lord is with you. But in all seriousness, God wants us to remember that He's with us. And it's easy to be afraid or discouraged when things are going on in life if we forget that God is with us. It's really easy to do that. It's easy to do that in the world, to look around you and be like, oh, just this is all terrible. I don't know. But we have God. And that's just the biggest thing we need to remember all the time. But we have God. It's not just me that has to figure any of this out. It's not me on my own. But I have God. So Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So there it is. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. And that's just a simple thing we need to remind ourselves. We get so wrapped up in the details of life sometimes that we just need to remember the simple truths like this. Don't be afraid. Don't get discouraged. But remember, God's with you. It's not our battles that we're fighting. There's all kinds of things that come up in life. And this handles most of it. Just God is with you. God is with you no matter what is going on. And I have some fun props. It's Christmas time, and everybody's got Christmas on the brain, so I thought I'd do this. So, fear not, neither be dismayed, the Lord is with you. So, I'll just remind you guys of that every once in a while. But let's keep that in our brains, right? That we don't need to be afraid or worry or be dismayed. The Lord is with us. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. So we're just going to kind of walk through some of the places that God mentions this. God has this said in His Word, which is really interesting. So Deuteronomy 1. So fear, the definition for fear is dread or terror, is the basic definition. I really like the Oxford Dictionary version. William and Erica gave me a OED one year for my birthday, which, because I'm a nerd, I'll sit there and read the dictionary. So, but this was a great definition I found in there. It says, an unpleasant emotion caused by belief that someone or something is dangerous or likely to cause pain or threat. So, you know, it's about believing. Our believing needs to be to God, not negative believing where we're afraid, where we get afraid, right? Where we think about all the things and circumstances of why things are going to go wrong or why there's a threat or, you know, pain coming our way. But instead, we go to God. We don't need to fear. We don't need to have dread or terror or belief that someone or something is dangerous or likely to cause us pain or threat. So we don't want to have that negative believing. To be dismayed is to be discouraged, to be terrified, confounded, broken down, broken into pieces, or shattered. So we don't want to get to that point where, you know, we're afraid and it breaks us down, you know, to the point we get shattered. But we want to trust God. We want to go to God in everything. So let's start going through some of these examples here where God talks about this. Deuteronomy chapter 1 in verse 21. So this is the Israelites. They're coming, you know, they came out of Egypt. They saw the plagues. They saw, you know, the pillar of fire. They saw God part the Red Sea, you know, all these things. And, you know, then they start getting in the wilderness and they start complaining right away, right? So in 1:21, it says, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. They saw God do all that stuff, and they got into the wilderness, and they were like, oh, you know, we kind of want to go back. But, you know, Moses knew what God wanted for them, but none of the rest of them would really believe. They were afraid. They looked at all the circumstances around them and said, oh, you know, we'd rather go back to Egypt. You know, but God wanted them to take what he had available for them, and we can just let fear and worry and doubt creep in and keep us from getting God's best, and we don't want to do that. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31. Going to scroll through some Old Testament records here. Deuteronomy 31. Remember here, our theme is fear not, neither be dismayed. The Lord is with you. My lovely assistant Michelle made those for me. Deuteronomy 31, December on the brain. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, it says. So this is Moses, and he's kind of giving Joshua some last minute instructions. Verse 8, and says, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." How many times do we need to be reminded? Moses had trained up Joshua for years and prepared him to take over, but he's still reminding him of this. Don't get afraid. Don't get shook. You know, it's one thing to follow somebody else's lead and to help them do something. It's another thing where you're the point, where you're out in front, and then it's all on you, and you have to trust, and you have to figure it out. But he's saying, you know, you're going to get afraid. Things are going to come up, but put that aside and remember that God's with you, and that's the most important thing. These things are going to creep in where we get a little afraid. We get a little discouraged, but we have to remember God is with us in every situation. God doesn't take breaks. He can help all of us at the same time. This is a sometimes I have a hard time reminding myself of this, that God, it's not like he's helping Patrick right now, so you don't have to worry about me right now, God. I'm good. I can figure it out. But he can help all of us and talk to all of us and help us all at the same time, which is pretty crazy. I have three kids. They're all asking me for things at the same time. It's pretty hard. But God is not bound by our inabilities. You know, he has so much greater ability than we do, and we need to remember that. Joshua chapter 1. So Moses was preparing Joshua, and then we get to Joshua chapter 1. In verse 2, it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Oh no, Joshua, you're in charge now. "Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan," the thing that Moses couldn't do with all these millions of people, right? And it says, "You go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, and to even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." How comforting is that? Every place your foot steps, God is with you, and he's given you that place. That's holy ground. Let's skip down to verse 9. It says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither thou be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Just remember that. It's so simple, but we get so caught up in the day-to-day sometimes. We're going in the holidays, we have to deal with family, we have, you know, it dredges things up for people, you can feel lonely, whatever the thing is that comes up. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, God is with you. You know, there's pressures and things that come up in life, but we can put those aside and just ask God for help. You know, put your money where your mouth is. "Hey God, I need help. I don't know what to do in this situation. Or I don't understand how I'm feeling. Help me sort it out." Things like that. That kind of stuff comes up in our hearts. Let's go to Joshua chapter 8. So Joshua, our friend, did go into the promised land. He listened to what God had to say. He didn't pay attention to the circumstances. Joshua 8, verse 1, and says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed." I guess Joshua needed to hear this. "Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to," however you say that, "Ai. See, I have given it into thy hand, the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou did unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take as a prey unto yourself, lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So he said, I've given this over to you already. Remember what we did in Jericho? I'm going to do the same thing because it's the same God. The people and the circumstances can change, but God is still the same God. He's still the same powerful God. Verse 3, it says, so Joshua arose. He listened to God and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. And how cool is that? That God just tells him what to do and he listens. Verse 13, and it says, and when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city and their liars in wait of the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, they hasted and rose up early. Did I read the wrong section? I did. I'm sorry. So anyway, they beat this guy. But, you know, let's go down to chapter 10. So they beat this guy, and then they go on to the next thing. And they're, you know, faced with different challenges. So in chapter 10, this is where I want to go to verse 13. I was like, that didn't sound right. So here we are. Verse 13 of chapter 10, it says, so they get faced, these five kings come up against them. They band together. They see that the Israelites are starting to roll through the promised land and defeat everybody. So they said, let's stick together and you know, band up and we can knock these Israelites out. So these five kings thought they were smart. They banded together. They got way more troops than the Israelites had. They banded together. And this is, you know, God gets involved. And it says in this verse 13, and the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people, this is the Israelites, had avenged themselves upon their enemies. This is not written in the book of Jasher. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about the whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. The sun stayed out all day until they defeated the enemy. What things can't God do for you? I don't know. I have to deal with my uncles at Christmas. What God can't. But he kept the sun out all day so they could defeat these guys. I mean, God's pretty big. Verse 14, and so it says, and there was no day like that day before it or after it. And verse 15, and Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp. And then it, we'll skip down to verse 22. It says, then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me, because they were hiding. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of, and the men of war which went with him, come near and put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies whom ye fight. And afterwards Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. So look at that. God, you know, they faced an enormous host and God came through and he said, look at this, guys, you know, our foots are upon their necks because God is on our side. Our God is stronger than anything. And that's the important thing to remember. It doesn't matter whatever situations, either we're fighting things in our own brains that we need to deal with personally, or there's like external circumstances that we're facing. We face both. A lot of times it's within our own, between our ears that we're facing battles. In our minds of what's going on and how we perceive things. But God's point of view is just so much greater. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel 17. Verse 4. Oldie but a goodie. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and targets of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and you a servant of to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all the Israelites heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So what did they look at? They looked at the circumstances. They looked at this 9 or 10 foot guy in front of them who was so big he had to have another person carry his shield in front of him. And they were scared. They said, oh no, nobody can beat this guy. And they completely forgot about God. Let's skip down to verse 23. Then our little friend Dave rolls in. He's just a kid. Verse 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to that the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That's the better question. And David had the perspective. He saw the situation and he thought about God. And that's really where these things start. Whenever we're faced with any situation, anything that's troubling us, God should be the first thought. And that solves all the problems. That takes the pressure off. This was a big pressure situation. They couldn't beat this guy. And they needed help, you know, on the five senses. There was no way that anybody was going to beat this guy. And David said, yeah, but what about God? That should always be the question when somebody presents us with a problem. But, like, what about God? So let's go back through this. Here. Fear not. Neither be dismayed. The Lord is with you. A big thing about this is, you know, point of view. I've been noticing on Instagram that a big thing is people posting like point of view things, like, oh, here's this thing in my point of view or a certain point of view. And we want to think about what God's point of view is. We look at things from our point of view a lot of time, and it's maybe not according to God's way. It's according to the world's point of view. And because we're conditioned that way, but we need to think about what God's point of view is in a situation. Oh, I can handle that. That's not a big deal. Or you're thinking about this in a worldly way. Here's what God says in his word about this. And let's go back to God's word. We're going to look at a few places in Chronicles here. And it's interesting to me that this phrase, I didn't see it really hardly at all in Kings, but it's like throughout Chronicles and a bunch of places. And Kings, if you know, is written from man's point of view, whereas Chronicles is focused on what God's point of view is in a situation. So I thought that was really cool. God's point of view is, don't be afraid, I'm here. Like, don't worry about it. Why are you guys so worried? And that should be the way we think. So 1 Chronicles 22. Like, yesterday morning, I didn't know what to teach. And I was working on something, but it just wasn't working out for me. I was like, oh, I'm going to blow this. This is going to suck. And like, you know, whatever. And I was like, all right, don't look at the situation. Like, God, I have like a whole day here to figure this out. Help me figure it out. And then all of a sudden, I just started reading the word, and it clicked. And God just showed me what to do. But, you know, if we get focused on, oh, I'm gonna mess this up. This is going to be terrible. You know, then, you know, it's not going to come together. But when we, like, stop and put God in the situation, it fixes everything. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 6, it says, then David called Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest for all mine enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give him peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Verse 11, now my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the Lord, the law of the Lord thy God. Then thou shalt prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord has charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. So don't be afraid or dismayed. This is God said, you know, this is your job, and he's going to give you the resources and back you up in doing this. I mean, that's a pretty tall order. Build the temple. You know, nobody had done that before. And, you know, he got to build the temple. But he said, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I'm sure things came up along the way. For there were supply chain issues. As we're all running into right now. But, you know, he had to trust that God would show him what to do and how to do it. I mean, that's a huge undertaking. But God showed him how to do it, how to rule the people. You know, he's in charge of a whole country. Could you imagine? Being in charge of a whole, you've got to rule the whole country, and you got to build this temple for God. And it's going to be God's house. It's got to be done right. I mean, that's a lot of, it could be a lot of pressure, but God's point of view is God's with you. This isn't a big deal because God's with you. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In verse 1 it says, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in that place, which is in En-Gedi. So all the ites come, and they try to conquer God's people, and Jehoshaphat is the king. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Jehoshaphat was a smart guy. He said, uh-oh, all these people are attacking us. God, what do we do? He set himself to seek the Lord. Really smart guy. His first reaction was to seek God and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He said, and not only him, but he said, hey, people, we need to go to God in prayer in this. We've got to figure this out. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court. Said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Good question. He knew the answer to that, but he said, hey God, remember, you're God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kings of the heathen? Remember? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand it? These are rhetorical questions, God. You know the answer. Verse 7, art not thou our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Remember Abraham, your friend? You promised him this, that you would take care of us. So, hey, God. And he's got all the people there. He brought all the people to the temple. And he said, hey, God, remember us? You said you'd take care of us. Pretty smart guy. Let's skip down to verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Pretty cool. They went to God and said, hey, we need help. We're getting attacked. In verse 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. Imagine if every time we spoke, like, you got announced that way. Yeah. Like, your lineage. It says, and under this guy came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. This is God's response. Be not afraid, nor be dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Wow. What a great thing. You know, God's huge. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And they lost the battle. No! No. God wiped these guys out. Right? So, they went to God in prayer. They said, there's this thing. And they went right to God in prayer, and they said, hey, God, remember who you are and what you do. You know, remember that thing. And then, look, at right away, God gave somebody a revelation and had him go tell, hey, you know, don't forget, I am with you, and I fight your battles. How cool is that? How cool is that? Fear not, neither be dismayed. We must be afraid and dismayed fairly often when things happen in life. We think we have it all together. Everybody tries to put on a front, but things come up and we're like, oh no, what do I do? You know, and you start to feel the squeeze. But God is big. God is bigger than any of the stuff we face. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 32. It says, and in verse 1, it says, after these things, an establishment thereof, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains. And so Hezekiah notices this and he starts to prepare for an attack. And we skip down to verse 7 and it says, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that was with him, for there be more with us than with him. This Hezekiah is pretty cool, right? Verse 8, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah of Judah, king of Judah. So what a great guy. This was his heart. He understood this. I shouldn't be afraid or dismayed because God's with me. I don't have to worry about this. He's just an arm of flesh. Flesh is flesh. It's weak. It's, you know, it's not nothing compared to God. I'll skip down to verse 21. And it says, and the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Syria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he had come into the house of his God, they came forth of his own bowels, slew him with the sword. So his own kids killed him. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. God guides will guide us on every side. Anything we need, anything that's going on in our lives, every side. He's got every angle covered. Anything that comes up in our lives, he's got it covered. We don't have to sit there and think about, okay, you know, where are all these things happening that I need to deal with? But we just need to trust God. A lot of times we don't even see the things that are going on that we need to be worried about. But God does. So we don't need to be afraid or dismayed because God's with you. God's with you, Patrick. He's with you, Stephanie. He's with you, Michelle. He's with each and every one of us. Let's go to Jeremiah 1. We're almost done our little journey here through the Old Testament. But this is a big reminder. God knows that we get afraid and dismayed sometimes. We get afraid and we let the circumstances steer us towards negative believing to the point where we expect, you know, harm or something bad to happen, pain. But we need to remember God. We don't want to be shattered. We don't want to be dismayed, you know, broken into pieces. We want God to hold it together. Because sometimes we can't. We definitely can't on our own. Chapter 1, verse 17, it says, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I have commanded thee. So Jeremiah had to go tell the Israelites, you guys are messed up. You're not believing. You've turned away from God. You're sinning and you're going to get taken captive. And that was his job, to go tell them that. Not fun, right? You don't want to be Jeremiah on this day. It says, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land. God said, I'll protect you against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. They're all going to be mad at you, but I've got your back. Verse 19, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. That's our delivering God. He had to tell God's people something that they did not want to hear, and he protected them. Let's go to chapter 23. And there's a few more places where Jeremiah tells the people, you know, God has to like build Jeremiah up and remind him that he's going to take care of him because he was the only one that was really believing. You know, there weren't many others. He said, you know, I know everybody's mad at you and they're trying to kill you, but it's okay. You know, I will take care of you. Just keep telling them what I need you to tell them. Not fun to be Jeremiah. verse 2, it's in 23, it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my flock, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which will feed them, and they shall not fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will raise up to David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and in his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." So then it gets into, you know, prophecy of Christ. It's pretty cool. But he says that, you know, I'm going to bring all these people back together, and they're not going to be afraid and dismayed anymore. All these people that were scattered and turned their backs on God, but he's going to bring the people back in. So our God is restoring God too. Sometimes we're the one that make the mistakes. Sometimes we're the ones that like are doing things that are not right according to God. And but God is a forgiving and just God, and he will, you know, forgive us and bring us back. He will restore us. Let's go to Galatians 6. So that's, you know, kind of our tour through those. And I just want to hit a few places here to sort of remind us in our day and time of what we can do. To remind ourselves that God's with us. Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Sometimes doing God's word, it can be hard. You know, there's obstacles. The adversary doesn't like the fact that we're doing God's word. It can be tough. But we shouldn't be weary. We shouldn't get beat down. And we shouldn't faint in our minds. Because God will take care of us. In due season we shall reap. You know, there's crowns of glory. Even if we don't see some of the results in this life. You know, when we get to heaven, there's crowns. There's things that God's going to do for us. So we shouldn't get weary in our minds. We shouldn't faint. God's on our side. He's got our back. And there is a reward for all the stuff that we do. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. It says in verse 14, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us thus, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." So sometimes, you know, our brains, you know, aren't accommodating. They turn away from God's word. You know, we have to realize that God is bigger than how we feel or the things that we're seeing, that he's bigger than the five senses, and that we need to bring our minds back to God's word. We need to do that. We need to remember what God's word says. It says, if we're otherwise minded, God will reveal this unto you. He'll help us get our minds back in line with his word. And we need to remember that he's there, that he's helping us, that he's there to fight our battles for us, that we don't have to figure it all out. And sometimes that battle is in our mind. So God is bigger than how we feel. Let's go to Psalm 15. God is bigger than some of the things that we are battling in our minds. And we just need to bring those thoughts into captivity. Remember, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. God is with you. Psalm 15, verse 1, it says, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" You know, who can approach unto God? "He that worketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart." And this is an important thing. You know, we want to see the results of God in our life. We need to speak truth through our own hearts. Sometimes our hearts can be deceiving. But we need to speak the truth to our hearts. Remind yourself of what God's word says. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. God is with you. Tell your heart that. You know, if you start to get afraid or worried or dismayed, it's easy to do that. It's easy to get discouraged. But hey, you start to feel discouraged. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. The Lord is with you. Tell your heart what God says. Tell your heart. Smack it around a little bit. Get it back in line. Isaiah 26. It's easy. We all know it's easy to go down the rabbit hole of like getting, oh no, I'm nervous. And then, we tense up and I don't know what to do here, but God is bigger than all of it. God is bigger than our feelings. He's bigger than the situations. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. God will keep you in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him. We need to stay our mind on God. Don't lose sight of God. Get your mind back onto God. If you start to doubt and worry and fear and be dismayed, bring your mind back to God. Okay, God, I'm going to stay my mind on you. I know you're going to take care of me. And look, watch God go to work. When we trust in God, we really see things happen. Now, if we're like halfway in, we're not really in, right? We're not really in with God if we got a toe in, but we're still kind of, we just need to give it to God. Give things to God and watch Him go to work. When our mind is stayed on Him, it's all taken care of. We have peace. Even if the circumstance is still going on or the thing in our mind is still like not quite settled, we'll have peace because we've given it to God. Let's go to Psalm 31 and we'll close there. So we don't need to be afraid or dismayed. Don't let that negative believing creep in. And things come up. It's not like any of us are never afraid or dismayed. But when we recognize it, then we take it back to God. We take it back to God. We nip it. We don't let it fester in our hearts. Verse 31, verse 24. Psalm 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all the hope in the Lord. So when we put our trust in God, when our expectation is from God, he will strengthen our hearts. He'll help us to be courageous and to deal with the things. He'll help us to deal with that thing in our mind that we've struggled with. That problem, that thing in our hearts that we just can never like solve or deal with or bring ourselves to deal with. He can help us work through that. He can help us to deal with the circumstance. It's Christmas, you deal with your relatives, or when you can't fit into the dress you want to fit into, or whatever it is, it's the holidays. Be strong and of good courage. The Lord is with you. So, things come up, and it's all about point of view. Do we look at it from the world's point of view? Do we look at it, oh, these things, I don't know what to do, I'm afraid, I'm discouraged, it's just not working, I don't know what to, whoa, that's exciting, whatever that is. But we need to focus on him. We can thwart any of the emotions or the things that come up and in our hearts and bring our hearts back in line with God. We just stay our minds on God. We remember, that he's the one that really takes care of business, and we tell our heart what to do. We smack it around a little bit, get it back in line. So, just one more time. Fun. Fear not. Neither be dismayed. The Lord is with you. So that's what I wanted to share. Sure. Well, thanks, Dad, for just being such a big God. I thank you for just how you know how we silly humans work and that you know how our hearts work and that we can just be reminded that you're bigger, you're stronger, you're mightier, and that you love us. And I just thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.